Hallelujah. This weekend we came for a feast of the Word of God. And I am fully persuaded that God will be doing great things in our midst in the name of Jesus. We have a lot of visitors, one of which is Pastor Kesiena Estiri from the city of Wari. Where is Pastor? All right. You are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I saw a pastor from the United Kingdom. I can't see him now. Where is he? Where is Pastor Muyiwa? All the way from Scotland. All the way from Scotland. Please make him welcome. Now, can you come this way and sit here? Please make him welcome all the way from Scotland. Hallelujah. As you clap, you walk faster. As you clap. All the way. You are welcome in the name of Jesus. Now turn your Bible quickly to the book of Job chapter 28. As we begin to lay a few things, a few precepts, a few things from the Word of God. Lord, we ask that you grant us insight into wisdom. Cause our hearts to come into that place where illumination is born, that we might find direction, that we might find wisdom from your word, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is the second part of this series. We began this series some time ago, the part of spiritual progress. And we are taking the second part right now. Job chapter 28 from verse 7. Quickly. We'll take some time to do Bible study. Trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We spoke on Facebook. But I met you in Wari when I... Oh, you are welcome to Benue. Is this your first time in Benue State? Second time. You are most welcome. From this you are coming, Wari will be closer to Benue because you will need to come again and again. Hallelujah. In the book of Job chapter 28 from verse 7, the Bible says, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eyes have not seen, the lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lions pass by it. He putteth forth his hands upon the rock, he overturneth the mountains by the roots, he cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Hallelujah. The reading doesn't end there. If you proceed in your reading, you will still find various permutations, various assortments, various possibilities various adventures that were embarked upon in search of wisdom to no avail. Hallelujah. Now we are trying to look upon that path. That's why we're here. You see, when you gave your life to Christ, what happened to you was that you came into the sphere of life. The sphere that is governed by the divine life. Hallelujah. You see, each life form has its own characteristics. And when you come into the environment of this way, the God kind of life, there are several symptoms that begins to find expression, of which we need to be taught in order for us to be fully acquainted with. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. And the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The reason why it's a birth process is that it points to something that has to do with life. But it happens to be that the life that we speak about here is the life of God. And there are several symptoms that find expression when we come into the domain of the life of God. One of which is revealed in that scripture in the book of John chapter 3 verse 5. I'm just trying to do a recap from whence we left off the last time on the subject. It's a subject that we may not be able to exhaustively handle because the life of God has no end, but we are trying to help the navigator in his adventure so that he will be able to relate with the things that he will find on that path that he is exposed to on the basis of this new life that he has to interact with. In the book of John chapter 5, are you still with me? Oh my. Am I too fast? We have a long way to go. I'm not sure we can do this in 4 days, in 3 days. So I'm trying to see how fast we can go to establish the counsel of God. John chapter 5, chapter 3 verse 5, the Bible says, "Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I've said it again and again that when you come into the sphere of the divine life, what the first thing God does to you is that he activates your spiritual senses so that you can sense spiritually. In fact, from Jesus' perspective, that is the proof that you are born again. Your spiritual senses are activated. And a lot depends in your pilgrimage in this world. A lot depends on your capacity to perceive using the instrumentality of your spiritual senses. It is going to be the mode in which God will be bringing perceptions to you that is supposed to enhance and inform your direction, your strategy, your timing, your orientation, your motivation. All of that is supposed to come from that line of perception that has been opened on the strength of the activation of your spiritual senses, which is the first surgery that the Holy Spirit comes to conduct in your spirit man. Hallelujah. Amen. I said that when a child is 9 months old in his mother's womb, all his senses are developed, but he doesn't need the senses for the womb. You have to be born first in order for the senses to become relevant. And that's how it is with the spiritual senses. They were incorporated, you were wired with them, but the significance of those senses would not become obvious until you are born into the realm that is the realm of the life of God. The life of God becomes the operating system of that realm. When your spirit comes into that domain, it is recreated, it is regenerated. It's knowing this that our old man is crucified with him. And the consequence of that is that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Oh my, you are far away. I say, are you with me? That's the first point on the path of spiritual progress, is coming into what we call the knowing. Because you can come for Bible study and we can lay out the step-by-step process of how God delivers a man from sin and from indulgence in darkness. And you will still leave the place with cerebral knowledge, and that will not have the capacity to prosecute what you have learned. And so, even though a lot of us have been exposed to a lot of things cerebrally, it's needful for us to understand that these things become a force when the divine life begins to administer its protocol. And we must be diligent to understand the symptoms, the characteristics, the things that we are exposed to on the account of the glorious invitation that we have received from God to be partakers of the divine nature. Now, one of these glorious things is the capacity to receive knowings from God. And the Bible says, knowing this, that our old man was what? Crucified with him. And that was a strategic and a definitive policy action. Very strategic and very definitive. And the reason why it is strategic is because that is the only basis for which we will no longer serve sin. Okay, let's do the math. All right. Are you with me? All right. So you see, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now, you see, first of all, this scripture gives us insight into the fact that sin has a domain. There is a place, there is a point in which sin is domiciled. Are you with me? In the universe of man, there are three contexts. We have the spirit, we have the soul, we have the body. Hallelujah. And when you give your life to Christ, the domain in which the Lord of glory found his dwelling is in your spirit. And that's where he operates from. That's where his command tower is. Hallelujah. But unfortunately for us, it is not only the spirit that we have. We also have the soul. We have the body. And what God intends to achieve is that the prosperity that your spirit is enjoying will influence your soul and will also influence your mortal body. And so God intends that the influence will begin from your spirit, beyond your spirit, until your entire universe is colonized. But unfortunately for us, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 7, that in our body is the dwelling of sin. You see, Satan in the Garden of Eden came with venom. The venom he came with when he came in the form of a serpent was actually called sin. Sin is the nature, of the devil. It's the nature that Satan assumed when he rebelled against God. A new kind of nature, a new kind of principle began to walk within him. And he came into the Garden of Eden to infest humankind with that principle, with that nature. And so when he succeeded with Adam, that nature found a dwelling in his body. And that is fully captured in the presentation in the book of Romans chapter 7. We can look upon it. You know, Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He was saying that there was something else that preoccupied his flesh. And so he could not look to his flesh for change. He could not look to his fallen nature for change. He could not look to the capacity of his body for change. Because in that body, and he eventually called it a body of death, because that's where sin resides. Now, the Bible says, knowing this, that what? Our old man is the context, is everything we inherited from Adam. What we inherited from Adam is a body that was sold under sin and a soul that was corrupt, subject to the desires of the fallen nature. And so it takes a partnership of the body and the soul under the fall to have a man that is not the kind of man that God created, a man with a different image. And in the deliverance procedure, what God did was that he had his son crucified. And before he did that, he brought about the theology of inclusion. You see, by an act of God's authority, he included you in Christ Jesus. So that when he was dealing with Jesus, he was dealing with you. Like if you take a pencil and put in a Bible and take the Bible to Kano, where would the pencil be? It would be in Kano, because it was inside of it. And so God, by an act of his authority, put you inside of Christ so that as he was dealing with Christ, he was dealing with you. When you connect with Christ, your life is backdated to the cross. Your past is cut off and you are backdated to the cross. That's the reference from whence your new orientation, your new perspective derives. And that is the root from whence your deliverance is established. And the Bible says that our old man, that fallen creature, it was crucified with Christ. You see, the fact that your old man was crucified with Christ is not powerful if you don't have a knowing. I don't have time to take you too far into the past. We have done these things before. Go and look for the tape. Alright? I said that there are three procedures in which God, three platforms in which God relates with man. Three platforms. Promise, by fact, and by covenant. By one is what?
Promise.
Two. Three.
Covenant.
Now, the second method, which is by fact, is implicated in this scripture. Say, knowing this, there is a fact. What is the fact? Your old man was what? Crucified. If you deny that your old man is not crucified, it doesn't change that fact. Just like now, Jesus is in heaven. He's ascended into the heavens. He occupies a seat of government, the Christus. He's the administrator of the policy direction of the Godhead. Hallelujah. He is the personality through whose office the purposes of God find fruition. Whether you believe it or not, it is a spiritual fact. And many times, in order for God to begin to work protocols in your life, He brings you to a point where you become acquainted with a fact. For instance, one of the facts that derive from the fact that Jesus is now exalted in the heavens is that that is the basis upon which you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. So if we want to minister the Holy Ghost baptism to you, first of all, we open your eyes to the fact that right now in the heavens, Jesus is exalted. Because it was when Jesus became exalted that the Holy Spirit left heaven into this earth to bear witness with Him that has become the Christ. The reason why the Holy Spirit needs to partner with humankind is because the promise that the Father made to the Son when the Son came back, accomplishing the feat of redemption, the Father told Him to sit at His right hand until He makes His enemies His footstool. Next verse now says, and the Lord shall send the rod of His strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. But it happens to be that the Spirit of God is spirit. And this realm is not the realm of spirits, it's the realm of three-dimensional entities. And so there must be a partnership with that spirit and mortal men. And the next verse now says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Because there needs to be a partnership between the spirit and mortal men for the kingdom of Christ and the enemies of Christ to be brought at His footstool. So in the implementation part of the promise that was made to Jesus, Spirit, Holy Ghost, and men will have to partner in order for the kingdom of Jesus to be extended upon the face of the earth and all the antagonists of His purposes will be brought at His feet. Listen to me. Are you still here? Now, so Jesus is exalted. And it is because it is exalted that the Holy Spirit came down here. So if somebody is going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, he must be acquainted with a fact. What is that fact? Jesus right now is what? There is no other way that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost other than that fact. You get me? Now, so God operates with facts. This is one of the verses that reveals a fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, how I wish we had about 5 hours to do this thing slow. So that I can link you up to several points in scripture that will produce a full picture of the procedure, the administrative sequence that God adopted in bringing us into the fullness of everything that He promised us in Christ Jesus. Knowing this, that your old man was crucified with Christ Jesus. And the reason why that was done was strategic, that the body of sin, the dwelling place of sin might be destroyed. And if that dwelling place of sin is destroyed, sin will have no platform to stand on to administer his treachery. And thereafter, we will no longer serve sin. All of this is tied to what? A knowing. If you don't have that knowing, there's no way you can live holy. You'll be a victim of iniquity, speaking in tongues in the house of God. Look with it. I've seen so many fake Christians. Jesus did it all. Alright? But I've seen a lot of people that because they do not understand the simplicity of the gospel, they have decided to fight the gospel, to try to create another gospel. That is in keeping with their insufficiencies and incapacities to align with what existed before the foundations of the world. Now, you cannot change the goalposts in the midst of the game like the grace preachers want to do. It is not possible. Hallelujah. If we go back into church history, you will see the sequence of revelation. You will see the times where people brought in false doctrine. You will see how God raised an apostolic company to combat that false doctrine. Then the church will now dwell in fullness. Revival will take place. And then suddenly again, there will be a false emphasis to drift the people of God. It has always been like that. So this thing that you are seeing currently is not new. If you check church history, check the things that have been preached in the gospel, you will find eras in which this movement came in different shades and different colors. It's the spirit of lasciviousness trying to milk out the power that is in our faith by bringing in an excess that does not recognize the Lordship of Jesus, thereby killing our organic possibilities, the living aspect of our faith. Our faith is not just a book, teachings, a set of teachings. It is a life. Alright? And the reason why we want to emphasize the life, that's what the part of spiritual progress is. Because that is what the faith, the grace preacher wants to kill. He wants to kill the organic part, aspect of our life with Christ Jesus. And that's why he brings things like, a Christian doesn't need to confess sin. That is opposed to our habitat. Our habitat is within the confines and the crucible of the Zoe. And there is an ordering of life that you need to sustain in order for you to have access to the fullness of God. And there is a fight against this organic reality. And that's why we need to throw out an emphasis in order for us to take deep roots in God. The body of sin was destroyed so that sin will have no platform to launch from. Hallelujah. The fact that the Bible reveals that the body of sin is destroyed doesn't mean that sin will not speak. Because sin is domiciled in your body, what he does is that he uses every capacity and potential that is within that body to draw you away from the Holy Ghost who is in your spirit. So the battle is between that capacity, that personality in your spirit, and the personality that is in your flesh. And there are two personalities. Are you with me? And the fight between the personality in your spirit and the fight between the personality in your flesh is an old war. Are you with me? And it happens to be that fight is not your fight. That fight is the Holy Spirit's fight. It's contending with the flesh. It's not your own fight. It's an ancient fight. The kind of fight that was between the house of Saul and the house of David. Flesh and spirit. It's an ancient fight. You see? Hallelujah. Amen. It's an ancient fight. But the Bible says that the house of David began to wax stronger. That, you see, David was small in stature. But it was not about his stature. It was about his source. At first, when the contention begins, the voice of sin and the compelling power of sin to get you to do things consistent with this way, he's so loud. Because the Holy Spirit comes like David. You know, he's so quiet, so gentle, and he knocks. He'll be nudging you gently, gently. And as you learn how to yield to him, he'll begin to wax stronger. And begin to wax stronger. And then the flesh will begin to wax weaker. It's not as if the flesh will not be suggesting. Oh my God, did you see the waist of that damsel? That's the flesh. The waist is size 7.5. Symmetry is wonderful. The alignment is. Glory to God. And all of that is still being processed in your mind. But you see, as you go with him in the spirit, you begin to love him. And because you love him, there are several things you cannot do on the basis of love. God establishes his government in the life of a believer on the strength of an experience of love. And that's why, hallelujah. Amen. I don't know, God did a miracle. I don't know, it's a strange miracle. Now he has performed in my life, for which I testify. You see, I like my wife. Now, the love I have for her is intense. Jesus. It was not like that before. It was not like that before. I don't know what happened. Something, a wind from glory. Kayamo sin. Jesus. It's like a wind. You see, on the strength of that, you are delivered from diverse encumbrances because of love. That's how God establishes his dominion. He gets you to love him. And then when you now love him, you'll be confronted with things that want you to operate contrary to him. And Paul says, the love of God, it constrains us. So if we cut off the organic dimensions, which the great preachers want to do,
There will be nothing to constrain because there's no organic side to it. And that's why we need to talk about this way, the workings of the protocol of the life of God that is within our vessel. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, I've seen the direction the devil wants to go in our time, so we need to sit down and study the Word of God. We need to like it again, the Word of God. We need to like it again. So I came to teach today. I don't know how long you can take, how much you can take, but I came to teach the counsel of God. Hallelujah. So, the body of sin being destroyed removes the foundation, the operating system, the legality that sin had is removed because Jesus suffered in his body. Hallelujah. He suffered where? In his body. And then he died in his body. He did not die in his spirit. He died where? In his body. The reason why he could rise is because the Holy Ghost was within him even when he went into Hades. It was a principle of life that was at work in the midst of the vilest death that brought him out of the grave. Hallelujah. So economically, the Holy Spirit was in him. But the anointing with which he operated left him on the cross. Sometimes you don't sense the presence of God. Is it true? You don't sense. But is it true that God is not with you? So Jesus was operating with eternal life. That kind of life cannot die. Alright? It cannot die. So it was not the life of God that he carried that died. Because that kind of life cannot die. So God was still inside of him. But the anointing with which he functioned left. His capacity to sense the Father left. The connection with the Father left. But the life of God was still inside there. Just like it used to happen to us sometimes. You feel that God is not within reach. But he's in your spirit. That's how Jesus went into Hades. And on the third day, the Holy Ghost that was in him brought him out of the grave. Because it was impossible for him to have this Holy Ghost that cannot die and dwell in the land of the dead. But you see, the reason why he even stayed for 3 days in the first place was so that he can remove the legality. The legality that bound every fallen man. So there's a possibility of redemption for every fallen man. If you can look to the very source through which death became handicapped. Who is Jesus? Are you still with me? Now, so, he was punctured. He suffered in his body. And all of that suffering was prophetic. Because God was trying to remove the legality of Satan's dwelling from your body. Now, in Christ Jesus, we now have the opportunity through the Spirit of God to be able to live within a civilization that can take us beyond the operating system that Satan normally takes advantage of to bring men into bondage. See, but all of this is tied to a knowing. You see, knowing. But what? Now, because I know that the body of sin is destroyed, Satan takes advantage of my appetites. Because sin dwells where? In the body. That's why you have some appetites. You have one of the appetites is thirst. One of them is hunger. Another one is sex. Another one is weariness. The need to sleep. The need to see. The need to hear. All of those are appetites. You can be in the room praying and then somebody say, you heard one voice. Then you want to, what was that? You left. See, the ear wants to. He wants to understand that frequency, that vibration that took place, for which the ear was not very, very well educated. There is a desire. The ear is telling you, stop this, your prayer. Go and find out what is there. Now, see, there's nothing wrong with hearing things. But if your need to hear will take you away from the presence of God, that hearing that day was a sin. There's nothing wrong in sleeping, resting, all right? But if your need to sleep will take you away from obeying God that is calling you to tarry, that sleep that day is a sin. You see, that personality that is manifesting your appetites against the authority of God, that personality is called sin. Because he is domiciled where? In your body. Prior to what Jesus did, there was no possibility to conquer that personality. The personality is a power. Elementary physics. What is power? The ability to do work. So, you see, sin is, you know, have you seen that stuff, that chart? Principality, power, ruler. No, so the category, the best example for power is sin. Sin is a power. Right? So he has an ability. And the ability he has is manifested in that he wants to draw you through the appetites from where he is located, away from God. There is nothing wrong with sex, but if sex is carried out outside of the government of God, it becomes an issue. Right? So it is a sin that dwells in your body that is trying to make you feel that you need to exercise this appetite right now, in spite of the fact that the word of God is against it. All of that is the workings of sin. Now, so Jesus destroyed sin in the body. And that was why he had to suffer in his body. He did not just suffer in his spirit. He suffered spiritually. He suffered in his soul. Shame. He was naked on the cross. He also suffered in his body. The reason for suffering in his body was so as to depose the power that was operating from there, and to ensure that that power would not be the ultimate power. And so there were judgments that came upon Jesus' body. It is so that the body of sin might be destroyed. So that sin will not have a platform to operate strong enough to get you to be his victim. So on the strength of that the Bible says sin shall no longer have dominion over you. So we even though that personality in your body is trying to master you, for you to live under his dominion, there's another personality that is in your spirit. That's Christ, the one that he died in his body. And the way by which he rose was not from his body. He rose from the spirit. That's how he rose. Hallelujah. So if him that raised Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you, he can always rise from the spirit anytime that sin is compelling you to operate in the body. That's the arithmetic behind our deliverance from the dominion of sin. And all of this is tied to a knowing. When that knowing comes, you become wise. Oh, the consciousness comes that, oh my God, I can actually refuse to fornicate if I lean on the power of him whose body was broken so that I can find liberty. So I lean on his spirit, because everything he used to become what he was, he drew it from the spirit, and that personality called the Holy Ghost is in my spirit now. I can yield to him and despise the promptings coming from my body. Because that personality speaking for my body has no legal operating system again, in that Jesus destroyed sin in the body. You see, all of this thing is tied to a knowing. If that knowing doesn't come to you, you will think that there's nobody that can overcome sin. But when that knowing comes, you are armed with a tool that the devil will do everything to ensure you never get. And so the first point of this part of spiritual progress is a knowing. The knowing of revelation. You get that? I did this before. If I continue like this, we will not proceed. Because I came with a new lecture. This one is deeper than the first one. Those ones were elementary. This one is deeper. Hallelujah. I don't know how long you can take. Because I want to teach today. I told God to release the wisdom, the words, the utterance to establish truth with a permanent ink. You know? Such that it's not subject to any form of, it doesn't recognize the authority of an eraser. Hallelujah. Amen. How did I find victory in the place of prayer? You know, when you become 6 foot and above, you need the Holy Ghost to help you in prayer. Where is? Okay, people that are as tall as I am, you will need Holy Ghost to be able to pray. You may not understand what I'm saying if you are not as tall as I am. If you are as tall as I am, the moment you hit the bed, the body will relax. You can't fight. It's a body.
If amene kalimasu. But you see, that limitation is tied to the body. It's the body that wants rest. Abi? Oh my, the Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you, what will it do to your mortal body? What, see, that mortal body has no basis, after which Jesus destroyed everything in it. It no longer has a basis to be able to compel you if the spirit is in you. If the spirit is not in you, don't try. You will not succeed. It's not willpower we're talking about. We're talking about spirit power. Spirit power. And so when I'm on the bed and that weariness comes upon me, I don't struggle. I don't try to wake up in the flesh. No. I begin to pray in tongues so that the spirit can be quickened. If it's quickened within me, he can swallow up the tiredness. You see, if you force yourself to stand up, the body will shout. And when you are 74, you have a hunchback. Because you are doing it in the flesh. But see, if I allow the spirit to swallow my weakness, at 74, I'll still be bubbling. Because I did not draw any power from my flesh, my body, to obey God. All the power I drew from the spirit of God. So the body was not strained. Oh my. If it is body related, it will surrender to the spirit. And in order for you to enter, see, that reality existed while I was having problem with my prayer life. It was a knowing that came that made me realize there was a way out. Outside of that knowing, with the Holy Ghost in your spirit, you'll still be defeated. The knowing came with wisdom. It came with possibility. It came with a way out. And I began to apply that way. That knowing came from a scripture. So we will not depart from thee. Quicken us. And we shall call upon thy name. I saw that I needed to be quickened in order for me to call. Now calling is not a function of willpower and choice. It was a function of quickening. And all quickening business has been zoned to the Holy Ghost. For the Bible says that it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits not. That's how I gained mastery. I gained mastery there because I found the quickener. By a knowing of revelation. You see, that's how God works with you. In every situation you find yourself that suggests a limitation, what you need is a knowing. And when you have started receiving knowings, it means that the corridor, the gate of victory is being opened to you to gain access to. And that's the first point on the path of spiritual progress. When God launches your spiritual senses and begins to furnish knowings. Is that clear? Now, the second point on the path of spiritual progress we saw was reckoning. Reckoning is a mental thing, not a spiritual thing. In fact, that word reckoning is the same word for accounting. Hallelujah. Oh. Reckoning is a mental thing. Knowing is a spiritual thing. I'm going to stop there because I've already done all this in the previous lecture. I'm trying to introduce something here, something new. Well, I see once and again that, hallelujah, that it will be difficult for us to establish this matter if we do not do a recap. And that's why I'm here. Reckon. To reckon means to account. To reckon means to put in mind, put in view, to keep in view. All right. Let me take us to a scripture. Then I'll jump back to the work for today. I did not intend to come this way at all. Reckoning. So knowing is the first point, then reckoning is the second point. And reckoning means to account. Reckoning means to keep in view. Sorry, let me get that scripture quickly. All right, let's check. Romans chapter 6 verse 11 is where I've been trying to get. Romans chapter 6 verse 11, the scripture I've been trying to draw out of the Bible. Hallelujah. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. This is a mental procedure. The dealings of God, some of them are spirit-based, some of them are mind-based, some of them are body-based. You must be able to localize the dealing. Because God has intentions to sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. So he brings your mind into the picture in reckoning. In reckoning means to account, right? To keep it in view in your mind. Let's get that scripture again. Likewise, account ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Because the reason why I say that you need to have that mental perspective is because sin is still going to try to suggest stuff from your body. So if you have not yet accounted that you are dead indeed to sin, when sin begins to speak from your mortal body, you will still feel that he is worthy to be obeyed. You get that? All right. Okay. Now, you see, for some time in my life, I walked away from my family for about 6 years. And when I walked, I was walking in Lagos. My family was here for about 6 years. So I became a bachelor again. I started learning how to eat gari again. I started many things. I started learning how to function like a single man. And the devil also has plans for you in your state of vulnerability. He has, he's quite suggestive. He will come through your space. He will come through your corridor. He will get you to consider a lot of factors. Lot of options. Hallelujah. And then, if you stay long away, long enough from your wife, you not even know how her face looks like anymore. And the birds of the air can help you with that aspect also. They can steal the face from your mind. Then bring another face for you to look upon. But you see, it will be impossible for you to achieve a feat of sin if you don't achieve that fit in your mind. You see, you will need to be defeated in your mind before you are defeated on the ground. And God says that in your mind, reckon yourselves indeed dead to God, to sin, dead to sin. What does it mean to be dead to sin? Because that's not all. You need to be dead to sin, and then you need to be alive to God. So sin will still come and suggest that we want to use the apparatus of your body to manifest something. Sorry, the last time I checked, you were dead. I'm dead to you. Do you go to the graveyard trying to revive people that have died that you want them to fornicate? Huh? So I reckon it in my mind. I'm already dead as far as sin is concerned. So this guy is just knocking a grave. He's knocking a casket. It's in my mind. But I'm alive to God. It means that I've shut out the possibilities of sin because I have a status in my mind. There's an accounting procedure that I put in my mind that shuts out sin. Sin, if you want expression, there are so many people around, you can try them. But for this body, this one is dead to you. And I keep declaring it, that this body is dead. When you see those ladies coming to take me away, I say, I'm dead. And I preach to my body. I say, oh my God, I'm dead. You need to know how to rebel against the devil.
Yes.
If you don't have that in your mind, it will be an option. But it will not be an option to a man that has reckoned his body indeed dead unto sin. So I had to speak to the body. I keep speaking to it. This is not a laboratory that can carry out the experiments of sin. This one has died. Just, you don't go. Satan, you don't go to graves to see how you can revive people that have died so that they can fornicate. I'm one of them. This body is dead to you. I'm only alive to God. Yes, I say it. I keep saying it. I keep saying it. I keep saying it. The reason why I'm saying it is so that my mind can hear it and the reckoning can become stronger. You can only sin when you lose your reckoning process. And in order to keep your mind in good shape, you need to begin to say what you reckon. Because sometimes you will begin to disbelieve what is in your mind. The devil will invade your mind. He will try to raise structures in your mind that seem to be over and above the word of God. He will take you in a bus and then the conductor will make a statement. Body not be wood, body not be wood. Hallelujah, body no be wood. That song has different meanings to different people. And for the Jesus man in the bus, something is about to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. And when that missile goes out in the bus, you need to sing another song inside. Create a song quickly. Body don't die, oh, body don't die. There's to be no loose end, no gap in your mind, no opportunity. No, it's not an option. I'm dead indeed. It's a reckoning. It's a reckoning position. It's a reckoning position. It's by these principles that we can be in this world but not be off this world. I'm only alive to God. Yeah, I'm only alive to God. This vessel cannot transmit from the devil's realm. It can only transmit from God's realm. That's what reckoning does. It insulates you from your context. Yes. It's like you are embalmed. That's reckoning. And the next point on the path of spiritual progress is presenting ourselves to God. A deliberate presentation of ourselves to God. That's consecration. You guys need to get the thing. I've done all of these things before. Consecration is the next point. Jesus. Okay, I've tried too many times to go back to my sermon. All right, let's stay here. Let's stay here. Until Jesus tells us to move. Jesus bought us with the price of his blood. Hallelujah. Amen. On the strength of that purchase will become his property. But Jesus will not force you to deliver his property to him. He waits for you to become reasonable. He waits for you to become reasonable. And that's why Paul said that we should offer our bodies unto God, a living sacrifice unto him, because this is our reasonable act of service. Now, Paul is aware that the average Christian is not reasonable. And God doesn't want to partner with unreasonable people. He will wait for you to become reasonable. And one of the ways by which you become reasonable is by the enlightenment of the Spirit of God. You might need a dealing to bring you into reasonability. Maybe you go on your own course without God, a journey of your own devising, and then you hit a rock, and then you cry out. Then say, that was not the path I ordained for you. This is the path. Then you become reasonable. It's not as if that dealing was required. It was not required. It's only required for unreasonable people. There are several dealings that we have, which is not a required dealing. Like the kind of encounters that Jonah had in the belly of the fish. Those are not the Christian. It's only for people that veer off, take off on a tangent, away from alignment. then you begin to have strange encounters, because the Lord of the harvest, who has few laborers in the ranch, needs to retrieve this one that's about to. So strange encounters take place, which is not supposed to be consistent with the Christian. Find yourself in the belly of a whale and all kinds of things. So Jonah encountered hell, the condition. Hell, the condition. You know, we have hell, the place. So he encountered hell, the condition. Hell, the experience. That was not part of the script for Jonah. But it was a journey of his own devising. So dealings had to be administered for him to awake and come back into alignment. Submitting yourself to God. What was the assignment for him? Go and preach somewhere. He now took off to another place. He doesn't want to submit. And so the Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. When Baba says you should go and marry that lady, say the height. They say challenge with the height. Oh, no problem, no problem. The way of a transgressor is hard. It's hard. That means I have not no dealings. Our people have no dealings with the people. The way of a transgressor is hard. Meanwhile, what you will learn for the 35 years of marriage might not be part of your purpose. It's just the way of a transgressor. Because you transgress, those infrastructures were put in place to manage your condition. So you will still, when you become enlightened that it was transgression, then your orientation to the matter is different. You now come in repentance and say, okay, I missed it. Is there any way for me to link up with the real pathway? Now you are talking. Then his wisdom will go to work. But he will tell you that it will demand more grace. Because there are several thorns in the flesh you will carry for life. Your night prayer will not take it away. When you go to mount your fire for deliverance, it will not go out. It will be there with you. But he will give you more grace so that you can carry the baggage of your devising along with the burden of your destiny. I know you won't say amen. You see, one of the things God did for me early, I began to study the Bible. And I saw the numerous assortments of what a man's life can be outside of the will of God. And the great monarch of Zion has so much capacity and so much grace. He can manage you in Egypt and bring canopy for you in the sun. He said, this sun, that's a climb in Egypt. You have to obey, but I'll bring canopy. Submitting yourself to God. You know the reason why you will need deliverance? Is because you did not consecrate. That's why you will need the anointing to break the demons and break the stronghold of your father's house. The prescribed way of coming out of curses is what? The devil cannot fight a man that is on the ground. A man that has said to suffer, Satan will leave him. Yes. When you, as you are bringing it, you say, bring more. After some time, Satan will go. If you are on the, the Englishman say, he that is down, he doesn't fear a fall. As long as you are trying to do something, Satan is strong. He will get you. Then the day you say, I don't do it again. Baba, where are you? I am here. I am sentenced to inactivity until you activate me again. That's how curses break. It is because the average Christian doesn't want to subscribe to consecration, consecrating to God, to become reasonable, to give the property that God paid for to him. That's why we need deliverance. Did you go for deliverance? Hills, were you ever, did you move to Lagos to join the queue, to take tally? Can you show me anywhere in the New Testament where there was a deliverance line? In answer to the apostle, people came to join. Take me as I am. I'm number 14. Take me as I am. There was no need for that. Because those guys knew what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. They gave him the property for which he paid for. As long as you are in rebellion, the curses will work. But if the philosophy that your life has become derives from a template in the Holy Ghost, they can't manage it. I have prayed before, just by myself, praying. Things came out of my body. I didn't know those things were there. I was just flowing with the Holy Ghost. And I found relief. Never went to a shrine, a temple, place for holy water. In fact, one of my friends just called me from the United Kingdom and said, a pastor there in London says she should come for deliverance. That they will use, they will wash her hair. I say, you are nigh a shrine. You are nigh a shrine. Consecration. So I no longer have an agenda. The only agenda I want to live for, the only principle by which I will live, is the principle by which the Spirit of God reveals for my life. So he brings the template for each man's life. And if you are within that template, causes don't work there, bro. You see, there is one pastor said he saw Satan with a fork flying. Ooh, looking for him, looking for him, looking for him, looking for him. I said, what did you do? Because if you are where I am, we don't see Satan. If you are where I am, it's been long I saw Satan. If you keep seeing Satan frequently, ask yourself, where am I? Where am I? Men like Agabus, real prophets of old, they saw angels, they saw Jesus appear, they saw Jesus standing with them. Why is it that all your encounters, you are seeing the pit of hell? You are not in the correct place. You are not a priesthood. You are not a priest of Asasteroth. You are not a priest of Azor spirit. You are not a priest of Akombo. Why are you insulting evil spirit? You need to ask yourself, where am I? Where am I? And so we are a rebellious generation. People that refuse to follow Jesus. And we're expecting all the best things that he has to offer. That you need to be insane to have such expectations. Hallelujah. And it is more complicated when a pastor tells you, in your state of disalignment, this next week, you will receive a phone call. That's false hope. Jesus is not a money doubler. Jesus does not give men false hope. Yes, you cannot become anything in Jesus without process. Because God told Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou path. You don't know the way of the Spirit. You don't know it. You will make a lot of mistakes in trying to gain mastery. When you become perfect, that's when the best that God has to offer will begin to flow into your life. It will take time, to 25 years, for Abraham to have a son. Meanwhile, the promises on his life, his change of name, all signify that the fullness of his sojourning will be achieved in a son. But that was the major object of his life. It took 25 years. Was it that God was powerless? There was a process that he had to go through in order for his own operating system no longer to be the flesh. His operating system has to become the Spirit. He must accept the personality of him that is in his spirit as his true personality and allow his personality that is formed in the soul to die. He needs to take up the identity of another person. The person that came to reside in your spirit on the account of your redemption, that will become your real you. The one you know. The one that went to nursery school. Went to secondary school. The one that they call the nickname Kankwe. That one will die. A new personality will come out of the civilization in your spirit. I remember that one guy they called Kankwe. All the names you had, it was the fallen man that they called. Ojoro. This is the falling man. Oh, but what name did they call you there? All those names, Maradona, all those names, it was the falling man that they were identified. That man will have to go. You will find the new personality. He's in your spirit now. Hallelujah. I've always said that the testimony of the Christian life is not a changed life, it's an exchange life. Even if you change, you are not yet a Christian. Huh? If you can achieve changing by becoming a Japanese monk, and then you are doing woo, and you stop fornicating, you are still not a Christian. You have changed, but in Christianity you become exchanged. You need to accept the personality of that is in your spirit man as your real personality, so that when he prompts you, you will yield, because other personalities will prompt you, and you say you are dead to them. It's a radical life. When last did you say no to the devil? You see, your attacks, because I've been receiving emails from all over the world. 64%, I've done an analysis of the mails. 64% of the emails are people under attacks. That this attack is 16 years old. This attack is 25 years old. This attack, you know why? You are still your own master. When you consecrate totally to Jesus and refuse to become ambitious, die to those ambitions in your soul that makes you anxious. Die to the fact that you put a wall clock in your house and you say, "Kai, my biological time clock is out of date and I need to go to the altar soon." Die to that clock. Break the clock. Throw it out and bow down to Jesus. Consecrate to serve His will. Your purpose for existing here is not to marry. Your purpose for existing here is to serve the will of God. Because when you accepted Jesus, it was not a Savior you accepted. It was the Lord. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, not the Savior Jesus. Salvation is a pathway for you to seek out a Lord and bow to Him. Consecration is your first kingdom initiative. You choose Jesus deliberately. Should I tell you something? Because after consecration, that's when you know the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will never be powerful in the life of a man that has not consecrated to the authority of Jesus. Don't bother about the Holy Ghost. Don't bother. You will not know Him. The Holy Ghost did not come in His name. The Holy Ghost came in the name of Jesus. He came to amplify the office of Jesus. He came to make Jesus real. Not Himself, but Jesus. He came in the name of Jesus. So when you are interacting with Him, you are interacting with Jesus. He provides infrastructure, facilities for you to interface with Jesus. And so if you have not yet consecrated, accepting the authority of Jesus, ready to operate by the timing of Jesus, if Jesus said, "I will not marry, I will not marry." As if you are like that, Satan cannot, has no place in your life. A man that is down doesn't fear a fall. It is because of your anxieties, your own time frames, your biological time clock, the things you created for yourself, your ambition, your competition, looking at other people and say, "Hey, Janet has gone to the altar." It is those things you are looking at that is the basis of your battle. You say, "I've been fighting for 16 years. The question is, where are you? Where are you? Please help me find out from your neighbor, where are you?" Where are you? Where are you? You didn't ask where. Eh? Where is Mercy? Mercy, where are you? Mercy. Where are you? Ask again. Where are you? The pastor says Satan took a fork. How many souls have you won? So what will the devil use against my hand? Bunky. You are in the village. You have not been able to witness. You are ashamed of your faith. They say they took fork. It's because you are not located where. I did not come into ministry with an ambition. I came dead. I saw a lot. Meanwhile, we were trained to grow the mega church. That's the model of the Bible school. We understand what publicity means, how to take a city in the flesh based on carnal strategies. And you can actually do that because human beings are psychological beings. Without the Spirit of God, you can hold a city. You can besiege a city, but not too long for a city like Makurdi. Because the powers of the land will check you out. The power. Papa, when I was coming here, Papa said to me, he said, "Don't go and make noise." You know how his voice is. "Don't make noise. Go and take root." I said, Papa doesn't know me, I'm anointed. And it seems he heard my thoughts. And he said, "My son, sit down." In 1986, this man, we sent him to Boko. He has not died. Nothing has happened in Boko. In 1984, we sent this man to Makurdi. The man is still alive. In fact, his wife ran away from him. In 1987, in 1989, in 1990, in 1990. So my doubts were cleared. Meanwhile, these guys were heavyweight people. When they crossed the northern bridge, their light was extinguished. He said, my son, do what they did not do. Go and take root and don't make noise. That became my manifesto. And we came into Adullam, came into the cave. This is our 10th year in the cave. Ah. So when we did 5 years, I saw that I was growing. My height was increasing. My height was increasing. Anytime I have that encounter, I will see that my height has increased. My height has increased. And then I tried to find out, what does it mean for your height to increase? Your intercessory coverage is visibility, coverage, coverage. I said, oh my, a time came when my head started entering the sky. Started entering the sky. I said, okay, you are coming of age. But the fact that my head was entering the sky, he didn't give me any instruction to march. Then when I forgot about marching, I said, he now brought one scripture, who shall take us into this strong city? That was why he showed me the vision of watchers. That if you go there without the support of a watcher assigned to you, you will die a horrible death. I have a catalog in my house of people that this land has eaten. I'm not as strong as any of them. So it is not the strength of man that will take the territory. So when you consecrate, you die, your ambitions die, your strategies die, and then you wait on the Lord to speak before you march. Only dead men can live like that. And that's why Paul says that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. You are going to be in this partaker of the suffering that Jesus suffered in order to alter our fate. You will partake of your own measure of that suffering. Because the body of Christ is a body of suffering. There's nothing Christ has gone through that you will not go through. Your own portion of shame will come to you. Your own portion of rebellion will come to you. Your own portion of accusation will come to you. Your own portion of... I know. It seems it's been long since there was an amen here. I'm just telling you about the Christian faith. Glory. Your own portion will come. And after your portion comes, he will want to see whether you are ashamed of him. Or whether you embrace that sorrow, that pain as part of your calling. If you address right, you can walk with electricity. A Nepal man can be dressed right. He can walk with dangerous things. You can walk with chemicals in the laboratory if you are dressed right. The average Christian doesn't come into the faith dressed right. He comes looking for breakthroughs and all of that. And then when he begins to see that his own portion of suffering is meted out to him, you see, he's not in the right frame of mind. You can go to war knowing that you will not come back, but you can go prepared in your mind. I came prepared. I knew. I studied the scripture for myself. I did not stop with the messages that were preached to me from the pulpit. I studied the word of God for myself, and I brought myself under the authority of the word of God. Then I realized that every true Christian that walks with God, For being a Christian, the portion of your own suffering, in the whole template of suffering, for which Jesus began to pioneer, you will have your own portion. In not because you went to steal, because you are consistent with serving the will of God. So, because Jesus will never empower a man that is ashamed of him. Jesus will never empower someone that is not ready to carry the burden that he carried in altering our faith. He's not ready. He will not become strong in his kingdom. That's why the apostles were happy that they were counted worthy to be partakers of his suffering. Because that's the only way they can increase in rank. Those were the things they went through before Peter's shadow began to heal the sick. Those were men that were sold out to God. They were not as wise and smart as we are. Our smartness has made us to violate the principle of consecration, and that's where the power of the devil is broken finally. Doesn't matter if your grandfather or your father used to go travel to Saturn to do witchcraft. Consecrate. In the process of the dealings, the mighty hand of God will go to work, will bring you through different seasons, and will bring you to a point where you are dead to the things that are required to activate that curse. The curse might still be prevalent on the life of other people, but you will walk clean. You walk clean. That's consecration. It's consecrated to God. It's after that you now
The next point is now acknowledging the authority of the Holy Spirit. We have done all that. The Holy Spirit cannot be powerful if you don't acknowledge His authority. In fact, just give me Acts chapter 5 verse 32 quickly as I try to move into my lecture for the day. All I'm doing is a recap. All I'm doing is what? Is a recap. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that... Can you underline obey in your Bible? Obey. To them that what? Obey Him. I know you think that's a small scripture. I know you think it's a scripture you can trivialize. When you become a Christian, or when you become a preacher, even when you become a preacher, you have many activities of your own, and you have little obedience. When you become a Christian, you have many activities of your own, and then you have little obedience. Once in a while, you can still fornicate, still tell lies, still do this, still do that. Activities of your own. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God is given to them that obey Him. When you begin to grow more in God, you begin to learn how to obey Him more. There's more obedience and less activities. Yes, if you live that way, we'll be able to know what God apprehended you for. Because your life will be a living testimony to the thing that God wanted to achieve when He went to save you. When you stop, your activities begin to reduce and your obedience begins to increase. Then the mystery behind your life begins to show. Just like David, the reason for which God apprehended him was that his life was supposed to be an X-ray that shows the relationship between worship and warfare. You see, it was when Israel worshipped the most that Israel won battles the most. And that was what was manifested through his life. We cannot talk about spiritual warfare without talking about worship. And worship is not singing. No. When Abraham said he wanted to go with a lad to worship, he did not take a hymn. There was no hymn now. He said, okay, the blood. Is that the song he sang to the altar? There was no singing. He said, I and the lad will go yonder to worship without a song. Because true worship ends at the altar of sacrifice. It is when you have arrived at the altar of sacrifice as a person. Are you with me? You're not with me. When you have decided to become reasonable and you have offered yourself as a living sacrifice, that's when your song will matter. Your singing will matter thereafter. But when we will receive singing from people that have not arrived at the altar, that singing is a mockery to God. Because the person thinks that worship is singing. In these days of music concert, everybody wants to do music concert. Everybody has something to sing. Eh? Everybody. Then we begin to confuse singing for worship. And worship ends at the altar of sacrifice. Only men that have arrived at altar can release the fragrance of the fruit of the lips. Hallelujah. Them that what? Obey. Is your life full of your own activities? If you come to become a preacher in a city like Maracodi, you find so many pastors competing. If you have not arrived at the altar, you enter into the rat race. Because you are taking your orientation from the natural, from the physical realm. You are doing window shopping. It means God had not sent you. It is when you go before that altar that you die of activities. You die of competition. And then you lie down there. And then it is when the great one speaks that you are animated for action. You only live to serve his will. Only that kind of living sacrifice can now sing. It becomes a fragrance.
Because that singing is an expression of the status of his heart. His heart has already found an altar to rest upon. That's when singing makes sense to heaven. Alright? You will find that one of the cultures in the land of heaven is worship. It's a culture. Now, so the singing we are talking about is not something you formulate from the earth realm. Because of that sacrifice, you are given access into the environment of that reality that is in the base of heaven. And then you pipe into it. And you pipe it down. It brings a fragrance. It brings a refreshing. It comes with the torrent of the presence of God. And that's what the Bible means when it says times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Father. There are people, humankind, that will be able to pipe into the regions of heaven. See into the archives of God. Taste the things that the immortals taste. Because the Bible says that in this realm, in this world, we can taste of the powers of the age to come. We can taste of those things. And then bring those commodities here. That's how the kingdom is built. That's how men are shaped. That's how men come into perspective for Jesus Christ. The music concert. And you see, many people are unregenerated, and even among the regenerated, they have not arrived at the altar of consecration, and they want to sing. It's not the sound of your voice that is the matter. You must be singing from an altar where your ashes are gathered. That's how incense arises to heaven. A friend of mine wanted to start a church in Lagos, and he went to the largest church in the mainland to learn from people that have gone ahead of him. And when he came into the church, the place was fully air conditioned. I like air conditioned. It's a better option than heat. I figured that. Hallelujah. Chief Donatus, are you on the same page with me? I like air condition. It's a better option. Glory to God. But I need to tell you the truth. My first house in apartment in Makurdi, it was in drug law. It was made with brick. Even during Hamatan, the place is hot because it retains heat. Then think about what happens when it is hot. In heat season. But you know what? It was not a challenge. It was not a challenge because we had a vision. We had a lover. We had a reason to be in the city. Not the reason that other people had. We were in the city for a mission. We came there knowing that there was service for us to render for our king. So staying in a house that was hot was not a challenge. Even though we have a preference for cool places. If the current circumstances require that we are locked up in a burnt bricks house, we will be there singing praises to God. It's a living sacrifice. There is no extent to which you cannot go to bring worship and service to his master. Only dead men do that. Only men that are dead of ambition. And that is what the corridor of consecration does to a man. It makes him rise with the power of resurrection. In all of the Chaldees, when God appeared to Abraham, the first thing he did after God appeared to him was that he built an altar and worshipped. You see, when God appeared, you see, the reason why people have not gone to the altar of consecration is because they have not seen the appearance of God. It's the appearance of God that compels a man to consecrate. And he stays on that altar until his ambitions dies. Spirit of competition dies. And there's only one thing that matters to him is to hear the voice of the commanding officer and to march to serve his will. And some of us started that kind of life long time ago. And if you come into my space, you will find out that when I was marching, serving his will, when God showed me a wife. But today we organize meetings. I must marry this year. That's the caption of a meeting. I must marry this year. It's a caption. Meanwhile, it was not a prayer point for my life. Because as I was marching, my commanding officer, when we got to a point, he said, this is how he's going. Oh, well done, sir. Kept marching. He said, well, you're not going to full-time ministry now. I'll give you a job. And You invest in many destinies, a great network shall be formed. Well done, sir. Well done, sir. Okay, much. Then I now discovered that he had my interest in mind much more than myself. You are still in the rat race, trying to look for what is not lost. Your journey, your wilderness journey is long. It's long. That's where the devil, that's where he manipulates us. Because of our unwillingness to consecrate to God, our life becomes a mystery. A mystery that unfolds a pattern that is not consistent with the expectations of a Christian in the scripture. Just because we refuse to consecrate to serve his way. We are full of ideas, full of agendas. And I need to tell you that some of us that have been conquered by the Lord, it is not because we ran out of ideas. May God give you understanding to know that we had more ideas than you. Yes, we had more ideas than you. By now, I should have been a pastor in Canada. Yes. Yes, I would have been a big pastor in Canada. My wife would have been white, a Canadian. The connections were already on ground. Me and you for no CEO. But you know what? When all those options came, my commanding officer said, I'm not in it. So I went to the people that had good intentions for me. I told I broke their heart. I said, sorry. I don't know you, but I know Jesus. I know Jesus. When my dad died, you were not there. Jesus stood by me. He was the one that, oh my. He took me through everything. All my uncles that were releasing money for us to go to school, they withdrew when he died. Yes. My dad trained them, 18 of them, from 5 women. He trained them. That's why he married late. I should be 60-something years old if my dad married early. You are not with me. I should be an old man now. So when I see the white hair coming, I say, okay. He says, fine. He says, fine. Hallelujah. Support was withdrawn. My only uncle that was a billionaire then now went to the village and brought a necromancer. Before he gives you money, you go for blessing in his room. That's how he initiated more than half of the entire family. So the rest of us that will not bow to his God were left in the woods to die. It was in that place, Jehovah, he came and took me. All right? Now, he was bringing me to limelight. They went and brought a wife from Canada. I said, I don't know you people. Where were you when I was in the wilderness? That was when I needed help. I don't need help now. They say, there are 6 ladies in Canada. They want to marry black men. Hallelujah. If you are not consecrated to God, you will yield to many ideas. And that is how your destiny will become complicated. We stayed on Jesus. We waited on Jesus. Yes, the commanding officer had to give a prompting for us to make a move. It doesn't matter how long you wait. Wait! I've seen my friend went ahead and married. After 2 years of marriage, he's married. That he was tired of marriage. He had to excuse himself. He is better now single than married. He married last, the lifespan of the marriage was 2 years. That's how you can like yourself. You can only like yourself to have marriage that will last for 2 years. But the commanding officer. What he wants to see is that you are ready to follow him. We don't live by his explanations, it's by his instructions. And so when he begins to go, you know, he will walk with you, walk with you. Walk. Okay, take pure water. He will give you some refreshing. When you are about to become depressed and discouraged, he will give you water. See? You walk with him, walk with him, he will give you 1,000. That will now come at the time where you are about to go. You are fasted and he doesn't want you to break the fast and not have anything. Meanwhile, what he is doing is not giving you 1,000. He's teaching you how to follow. And because in obedience, your activities must reduce and your obedience must increase. That is what we call walking with the Spirit. It means the Holy Ghost will put an end to your activities. And then your activity will become obedience to Him.
The Bible reveals that the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey.
That's the fourth.
What point is that? Four. That's where we stopped the last time. Them that what?
Obey.
And we kept obeying. And then we began to see what he had in mind before he even called us and apprehended us. We began to see what he had in mind. Then the time came when he said, raise a remnant for me in this generation. I didn't know what remnant meant. He said, select few. People that have not bowed down to the image of the world system. Men that dance to the beat of a different drummer and place their allegiance with different flag. That in your day, there will be many sounds in the body of Christ. But you will pay the price to hear my own sound. You know, the day of Pentecost, there was a sound. I also make sound. Hear my own sound. And let your drum beat be according to the rhythm of my sound. Oh my. Then he stopped there. When I started obeying, he said a great multitude will come. Meanwhile, when he said a great multitude will come, people were going. But I learned not to look at the natural to interpret my situation. I learned to look at the radar in the spirit. Hallelujah. For the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. That's how you become when you begin to follow and you begin to obey. You will have long sight. You'll be able to see into the future. And you might be doing something that is not lucrative today. But you know the one that gave you the instruction. In the fullness of time, you will become the most strategic thing. You know, guys told me here that we are going to be poor. We are going to be poor because you don't have people that are giving you tithe. You don't have people that you can call your member. That is the basis of security in ministry. And these were scholars in their own respect. They were wise men in their own right. But you know what? I don't know them. I know Jesus. And it's the Jesus that I know that I've been following through the rules that say we should not run a church. Nothing should happen on Sunday morning. My training is church. Oh my. I was trained by the master. Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
Hey. People that came into ministry and they were like light years ahead of the places God sent them to. I was trained by them. And then the great ones say, you will not do what you learn to. I know you now. It's only you I know. How will I do what? You I know. And we started. Guess what? The people that came to me and said, you are going to fail. Their church is closed. They were doing all the right things. It closed. We were doing all the wrong things. It was growing. You know why? The one that said, do it. He comes to give it life. All right, if you are from outside my Cody, let me see your hand up. Outside my Cody. Now, these people that came from outside this city, there is nothing that would have brought them to Makodi at this time. They came because of the word of God, because we kept following the spirit of God. There is a life that breaks forth here. Alright, people that came from outside Nigeria, let me see your hand up. We have Muyiwa from the UK. Now, he came into the country to sneak here. Then I was in my study. And his name came into my heart. Muyiwa, Muyiwa. So I now took WhatsApp. I said, hey, how are you? Long time. Your thought was on my mind when he arrived in Nigeria. And it's still his UK number that I sent it to. It was when he came. I said, I caught him. He wanted to sneak. But Muyiwa, he came into my radar. Came into my radar. See? And you know what? Is Jesus I know. And Jesus is never wrong. You know when we started preaching on signs? We started it by inspiration. Those of you that were there. We started it by inspiration. That's how I've worked with Jesus. And that's why, as long as I walk with Jesus, I will be a voice to the nation. If I don't have my own agenda, what I want to preach, I don't have what to preach. We'll just come here, we're praying, he will inspire me, then I'll begin to teach it. Alright? It has been bread for the nations. You cannot be so wise that you don't need to hear the Holy Ghost. Meanwhile, it is good to hear a preacher, but there are several things that a preacher cannot tell you. You will need to hear Jesus. When you learn how to obey him, your activities will begin to reduce, and then your obedience will begin to increase. If you are still heavily laden with a burden of activity, that's why you are where you are. Hallelujah. You are where you are because your life is full of activity. I stopped doing activity. I learned how to do obedience. And I've been doing it for many years. I sat in my office here. People will come from different nations to my office. Some will come to my house. Just here. Because only Jesus knows the way to the wilderness. You say you want to be great, and you are listening to a motivational preacher, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. I learned that lesson long ago. If the motivational preacher doesn't know how to be great. One of my cousins, they gave him a job when we all did not have jobs. So he became a lecturer for Job Affairs. You see, in the way you are looking, you cannot have a job. Yeah, he became a counselor. A self-acclaimed counselor. You are just waking up this time. You see, there's no job for you. There's no job. Hey, see the way you are. You wore a brown belt and black shoe. No. There's nothing for you. You are lost. You are not in the radar. You are not available. You know what happened? Many years later, all those students, they now had jobs. And they will now find out later. He has worked for about 20 years. There's nothing to show. See, he would have. In fact, he stopped the podium that he used to use for his lecture. He had to take it away. He doesn't know the way through the wilderness. Spoke lofty things. And time proved that he was a fake. The last time he came here, I began to talk to him about the things that God was laying on my heart. He developed serious jealousy. That was a man that was lecturing people about job. But he doesn't know Jesus. And the part he carved out for himself, he has caved in with darkness. He has caved in. You think the wisdom of man can help now? You are joking. Only Jesus knows the way to the wilderness. And everyone that has decided to follow him, I assure you, you are not wasting your time. Oh, there was a time when I prayed for about 3 years. It was as if there was no answer to my prayer. I was locked on fasting. I was locked on prayer. I was as lean as the HIV victim. I was right there. I was doing 8 hours prayer, calling on God. That was what he wanted me to do that time. And he was dealing with pride. He was dealing with many. Who told you nothing was happening? Many things were happening. The things that would have compromised my future, he was dealing with it there. Dealing with all those things. As I was a man full of ambition. Oh my, Jesus, you have no idea. Hey. Well, there's no need for you to have an idea. There's no need. I saw some of my friends. I just saw Linda. It was today that I recognized that Linda was that girl. Where's Linda? It's today I recognize her. Jesus. This lady was a monk. She was a reverend sister. She was pious, sacramental, and sanctimonious in Benue State University. Those days when we preached radically. I'm just realizing. I now went to her and said, wait, are you? I've been suspecting you, but are you that Linda? Then I asked her, what is your story? How did you gave your life to Christ? What happened? She said she doesn't know. That is the story of every man that works with Jesus. You don't know. You don't become a lecturer because you have made some progress. Like that young man was. He had a podium in the house. You are still wearing brown belt and black shoe. You are not available. You are not available.
with his black belt and black shoe, brown belt and brown shoe, he has caved in after 20 years. And the devil has helped him waste his time. The other day he sent me a text that he has called, I just called it quits with my wife, and was expecting a comment. It was blank for many months. And then after many months, he said, we reconciled. We reconcile. The way is to follow Jesus. All right, let's start the lecture for today. I just bring a point. You are welcome. You are welcome. All I was doing was to bring us. Some of you came from the swamp. I had to drag you out of the swamp. Some of you are concerned with a lot. Concerned with. It was a great task. All right. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A mighty army is going to rise from among us. Amen. That I've seen it in the Lord. Amen. How he will do it, I don't know, but I know the Lord. He never speaks what he cannot deliver. Never does that. Many people have called me, why am I called you? Why not move to Abuja? One day my mom came and said, my son. Because I went to preach in our village. Our church invited me. That's the height of honor. Our church in the village. Jesus. And when my mom heard, she went and cleaned the whole compound. Cleaned everywhere. Went to the market to shop. That her son is going to climb the golden altar. Jesus. Because of her. In fact, she told me, she said, the first preacher that I preached, he was prophesying. When you come, do something more. Make sure you do something more. When she said that, I became afraid whether Jesus heard it. That statement led me to fast, to reconcile with Jesus first. That was not my mind. Hallelujah. Four days of fasting. Calling on Jesus. Then we now went. They were waiting for us on the road. So we came with them. Everybody, my mom was happy. She didn't know I was dying. I was praying. Where are you, Holy Spirit? I've not heard your voice. She came and said, see, the table is furnished. Jesus. And in order for me to have utterance, I don't eat. So I had to leave that food. Went into the room. I said, what am I going to preach? They didn't give me a topic. Then I saw Abraham. That was where I traced the scripture of what I saw. And when I came to the altar, it was as if they opened heaven. I'm talking about an Orthodox church where they don't speak in tongues. I say, this is what I see. I would say what I see first before I start teaching. And then at the end of the day, we will check if the thing will come to pass. And say, I see this. The presence of God was so heavy. That my mother that said, do more. When we went home, she was speechless. She went to intercede. She knew that it was not the training she gave me that made me like this. It was not the training she gave me. Because for many years, she did not know who I was. Until we went there, 3 days, my uncle came for the meeting. That's the first time he's attending a non-Catholic church. And when he came there, I didn't know he was deaf in one ear. I was ministering his ear open. That's how he gave his life to Christ. His ear open. After the service, he came and met me and said, can we go to the village and destroy the altar? I said, you know what an altar is? He said, it's been there. I said, okay. The great one has not told me to go yet. That's why I've not gone. My uncle cannot decide that I move. Do you understand what I'm talking about? No. That's a good intention. But I've left the realm of operating with good intentions. I follow Jesus. You know, the other day some witches came and I felt the presence of darkness in the room and all of that. And you know what? I woke up. I said, hey. Then I went back to sleep. You know why? Because Jesus can keep me on my knees praying. Demons can't. No. You know, demons. Jesus can say, start up. But demon, how far? No. No. I follow Jesus. Many years ago, 16 years ago, in youth service, some witches came to try me. And when they came to try, they could not come close. There were two angels close to my bedside. The one that we now arrested, one of them, all right? The next meeting we held, because she could not penetrate my house, she came to the meeting to check, to test the power, the source of the power. That was where power struck her. And then she now said that I was in a pool of fire. She told me what I did not know. I was in a pool of fire and two angels by my side, and they were like fluorescent tubes. It took me long to see those angels. I follow Jesus. So demons don't suggest when I pray. No. And my uncle cannot tell me when it's time to destroy the altar. People have been calling me. My cousins have been calling me. Man of God, when are we going? You know, it's this year. They started calling me man of God this year. You know, in this calling, there's some honor attached to it. The honor that the Lord gives is attached. They started calling me man of God. After, they say, have you? The power of God moved so much. People were falling. My auntie was shaking on her seat. Shaking. She had to come and give her life to Christ. And after service, she said, my son. I follow Jesus. That was how we came on Saturday morning to deliver the word of God. And I saw a vision. I saw death. And I was trying to trace it. And death came and sat upon a woman. I pointed to the pastor. One of your members has already died. Has died. I know you don't believe, but hold on. And I began to minister. And the demon jumped from the lady's head. And the lady began to manifest. And when she began to manifest, the black in the eye started going. It was remaining only white. And I told them, ushers, check. That's how death is. We began to pray. Then the black started coming out. The spirit now left. Thus I saw the spirit move from the head. Now came to the stomach. And from the way where I was trained, you don't lay hands on anywhere on a woman other than his head, her head. So I had to lay hands on one usher as they put your hand on the stomach. When I touched the usher, the power of God came upon the usher. She began to speak in tongues in an orthodox church. And you know who the usher was? The pastor's wife. So, there was no need again to ever claim that Holy Ghost is not from. Wow. Lay hands there, and then the spirit of death jumped out. Hallelujah. And then the pastor went to my mother and said, is this your first son? Say, no, that's my fifth. You have? Yeah. You see, the reason why he thinks I'm a big man is because of my stature has not changed. Something God, this is not my work. This is Jesus. Who have you followed? You follow corny device fables, you follow motivational preaching and say, yeah, I left that realm. I cannot spend my life on swine food. If I come here with short knicker, it's just that it's not decent. Jesus will still do what he wants to do. Because at some point it's about who you follow. If you have followed him enough, he will cut covenant with you and say, okay, I will show up when you speak for me. I'll show up. If I introduce him, because as I began to learn and began to tell me about the kind of anointing he placed on me, he said this anointing will be activated when you begin to hear sound. Right? He said, yes, the kind of priesthood you are called to manifest in. People like Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn, they walk in that order. They need sound. You are like Elisha. Oh, so when I followed Jesus, I began to discover myself. Began to find myself. Some of you are still lost. You don't know you. Because the only way you can know you is to encounter Jesus. Peter never knew that his real name was Cephas until he had the revelation of Jesus and said, then Jesus said, okay, you are Cephas. What's your own name? What's your identity? Your activities will have to reduce so that your obedience will begin to increase. I don't have an agenda. My agenda is to serve his will. And I will wait until I know it. Oh, I will be totally incapacitated until I know that will. If I can know it, that is what I will do until he speaks again. Then I found out he knows much more than I do. He has my interest at heart much more than I can ever have. Then I just rested with him. Hallelujah. So after you know the Holy Ghost, the next point on the path of spiritual progress is trust. You just trust him. The reason why I can give a word of knowledge and know that even if the person refuses to stand up, the person is here. Because I've worked with him long enough to trust him. And if the person refuses to stand up, I can do something else to reveal the person. I can ask the great one to help me locate the person. That's happened many times. That one doesn't fail. But I give the person the opportunity to be noble. If the person refuses, I have another way. Hallelujah. Because I know him. I know him well. So I know he will move. If I ask him, I say, can you move today? Can you move? He knows me now. I had occasions to serve something else. I choose to serve him. So my lot is with him. So if I go to him to pray, to ask, he will oblige me. Because he knows my voice. He knows my voice. And at some point, it's the stature you carry that matters. That determines what can happen. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey him. Then you now trust him. And then it is when you enter into the realm of trust that your Christian life is on cruise mode. On cruise mode. It's from one blessing to another blessing one, just like that. On cruise mode. On cruise mode. On cruise mode. Hallelujah. Cruise mode. Great honor. Doing the will of God, and then there's honor attached. Cruise mode. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to arrive at cruise mode, but they don't want to follow the path of spiritual progress. Trust in him. That layer of trust is a strong layer. It's a strong layer. You just cruise. You just cruise. If danger wants to come, I know. In my sleep, when I wake up, he will take my peace away. And I say, okay. Where is he coming from this time? Where is he coming from this time? Where is he coming from this time? And then I begin to pray. Pray for one day. Sometimes it takes about 4 days. And then he shows me, this is where it's coming from. I say, okay, now I know it's coming. So what will I do? I need wisdom. And he say, when he comes, don't talk. Stand still. You will see the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Some people wanted to set me up one day. Alright? And the thing they were thinking that I would do in the flesh, I did not do it. So that one didn't work. Then I went again. Then I lied against me. And then they were expecting that I would come and defend myself. Oh my God, if your authority is genuine, you don't need to strive. If it's Jesus that called you, you don't need to strive. Jesus can handle that matter. That's the realm of trust. You leave him to fight. And you know what? He fights better. He fights better. I have relinquished my fights to him. He fights better than I can ever hope to fight. I didn't do anything. Then after some time, judgment now began to strike. And when judgment began to strike, I didn't know. And the people now ran and came and said, forgive us. I said, what happened? What is... Okay, and I said, Lord, have mercy. You know, he didn't honor my prayer.
I prayed for them. They didn't anoint. And then after the prayer, I said, the judgment intensified. You know what? Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. It's at this level of trust that your prayer becomes potent. When you kneel down before God and begin to inquire about something, it doesn't take time before He comes to you. He will just open your understanding and begin to drop things. Take it, this person you want to pray for that I said you should stop. This is what is happening. Until this matter is handled, that prayer will not be answered. And I saw. Hallelujah. Amen. And I saw. I saw many things. Many of which I cannot even say here. I saw that God is a God of order. It's a God of order. Most of us are looking for results. Huh? Are looking for what to do to get the results. If you have not passed through the gate of consecration, you don't have a certain future. Satan will contend with every stride you take. Every stride you take. It's at the point of consecration that you want to obey the word of God. Paying tithe is not a challenge to you because it's in the word of God. It's in the Old Testament, it's the New. Hallelujah. It's not a challenge. Because I've given myself, it's easy for me to give my things. I mean, while paying tithe is O-level requirement. It's a proof that you have released your finances for him to administer. He can come and say, empty your fixed deposit account. If he has not told you that before, you have not gone far with him. I know it's funny. But all of us will not be on the same level. You know, I've worked with him. I'm 40 years now. And I've worked as an intercessor more than half of that time. He has appeared to me 5 times. Right? And I got born again at the age of 7. Hallelujah. At the age of 7. So, I married as a virgin. So, as long as it... let's stop there. It's not about me. Let's stop there. Hallelujah. When you consecrate. Then when you come to seek Him, your presence will open doors in the heavens. Because you have accepted to suffer with Him. Have accepted, giving Him His place as Lord, and you have consecrated to serve His way. Doors will open for you in the heavens. I just came from Abuja. Papa finished preaching, and I was struck to the heart. I now knelt down, began to pray. And then I now felt a hand hit me twice. And I now saw that it was Him. He now gave me the mic and said, go and prophesy. Meanwhile, when I was praying, God didn't tell me I would have anything to do. You understand that? That means as He gave me that mic, I had to locate my potter. Now, if you don't have a potter... Yes, I had to locate it. So, you know, my own way now, I told my mom, so can you come? Come, let's try that. Go there. Let's try that. So when my man began to minister, then I began to pray. He knew my voice. He knew my voice. You can pray till you die. The heaven is just... Nothing has happened. He knew my voice and he opened the gateway. And he said, okay. All right. Then he released a lamp. Then I saw through the lamp. Then I began to see. And some of the clearest visions I've had this year, I saw it that time. That was how my eyes opened. My eyes opened. There was a preacher there. I believe when I come to teach, a preacher looks at me as a small boy, wondering why I'm talking like this. Because I was seeing it. When I began to move, fly, he was humbled. He was so humbled that he could not hide it. You know what? It doesn't matter how long you have been doing it. I follow Jesus. I don't know what you are following. But me,
I follow Jesus.
The heavens opened. And I began to see things. And you know what? The power of God broke upon the minister's stand. That was where it started from. All kinds of things began to happen. I began to see more things. But then I remember that, let's not go too far. I gave the mic. As I was giving the mic, power was still coming out of my body. That portal opened because I know the God of the portal. When everybody ran away from him, I was there on the field in Canaan, seeking his face. It was not an intelligent thing to do. It did not make sense, but it made life. You know, the Bible says that will show me the path of life. You know that life has a path. A path that you don't know. A path that must be shown you. There's a path. And a path happens to be a road that only one person can walk upon part time. I've seen the future of the church in my uncle. And you know what? We were part of that future. Something that the demons could not stop. Something that the politics could not stop. Something that was stronger than the politics will rise in a few years. In that time, I will resign from government work. Yes. I'm prepared for it. You know, I said that if you are dressed right, you can work as a NEPA official. You can touch electricity. When working with, if you have worked with Jesus enough, when he says, do this, you no longer be afraid, because you know 1,000 times he has delivered you. His redemption. He redeems you 1,000 times. There are times when you will do some disobediences and you sell yourself to the devil. He will buy you without money. Through dealings. Dealings that will bring you to a point where the Satan's accusation will have no place before the court of heaven. He is only good. Yes, even if it's as if he's dealing with you, he is part of his love. Trying to bring you to a point where no accusation will prosper in your life. Oh, he's killed. He's redemption himself. And he begins to walk. And there is nothing you desire for yourself that he doesn't desire better. It's just that your greatness is tied to your service to him. For no disciple can be greater than his master. No servant can be greater than his Lord. Hallelujah. You see, I've spent the time doing the recap that the golden sermons I have secured. It was under intense presence from heaven that these inspirations broke out. It was beyond my mind, so I had to look for the script to write it down. Silver and gold I have not. That's what Peter said. But such as I have, give I you. After trust, then you now enter into the realm of partnership, where you have things with God. You share things with God. He shares secrets with you. Sometimes when his heart is troubled, he looks for somebody that is intimate with him for him to share it. And that day Peter had to invoke that which he had with God. The things he has shared with God. How that he was available to hear God when God was troubled. Those moments where there was nobody on earth, but he was there to hear the voice of God when God had something upon his heart to share. He says, such as I have. He invoked every such moment. He invoked every such time. He made a demand of those on those dimensions. And God could not resist his demand. He had to come down to raise the people. When you enter into the realm of partnership with God, he takes you to heaven many times. Sometimes when proceedings are taking place in the court of heaven, he brings you into the proceedings. He shows you books. He breaks seals. He shows you things to come. At that point, you are more than a man. You are a witness. A witness and a watcher. Just like some special angels in the courts of God. those kind of men that have reached the level of witness, where it can be said from the days of Tonya, because her rise is synonymous to the opening of several things into the earth. By reason of his stature, he has entered into some forbidden courts, and the things he brought down from there occasioned a season upon the face of the earth. And so they need to name those seasons after him. They need to name those seasons after her, because her rise was what gave birth to those seasons. Then you find high witnesses like Catherine Kuma. And even in death, her name is still revered in the heart of every sanctified saint. Those ones went, they were their colossuses. And in their service of God, they went to hidden places. Hidden places in the heavens. The occasion windows to be opened into the earth. Civilizations of God came among men because of their obedience to God. Such as I have. That's what Peter said. I give you. He brought another dimension to the name of Jesus. It became a passage through which deadness could be quickened, because he had something with God. The average Christian wants to be like that, but he doesn't want to follow the path of spiritual people. Such as I have, I give you. That's when you really become a blessing. You come to a place and you sleep on a bed and you leave. If a sick person is brought on that bed, the person gets healed. People can come to where you have stayed and they can pray to God. Because of the deposits that remain, those deposits will be transferred to them. That's the kind of thing that happens when Peter begins to walk around, and his shadow now begins to heal the sick. God is looking for an excuse to reach people just because Peter is around. It's because of Peter. Because God could not achieve that with the next believer. But with Peter, he had such power. Such as I have, he said, I give you. Such as I have, I give you. Such as I have, what? I give you. Oh, how I wish I had time. I will tell you where the faith movement ended. I will tell you the limitation of the holiness movement. I will tell you the limitation of the deliverance movement. God has not called us into movements. He has called us to walk with Jesus. You will walk beyond the movements. And when things begin stop raining, you will still be accurate. I remember those days when I met my wife first. There was a revival in Ahmad Bello University's area. I was invited from Kano. I was a youth couple. Those were the days of prayer and fasting. That was where I laid hold on the culture of prayer and fasting. When you are fasting and you are praying and you feel weak, I found out that that's not when to eat. Pray until there is strength from the Holy Ghost, replacing that weakness. You have climbed one ladder. I learned it then. But you, when you don't start feeling weak, that's when you reach out for yogurt. Your leg will slip on the ladder. Immaculate. Tito yogurt has been the reason of many people's downfall. Before you start a fast, make sure there's no Tito around, because it will call to you even if you hide it in briefcases. That's when I learned how to pray. I learned how to fast. And I knew that it was in those weaknesses of fasting that the life of God surges into your vessel. You know, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. Not this your carnal life. The life that the Spirit comes to give you, to empower you, is a proof that He lives. Before I came for the meeting, I had to fast for 14 days. I was looking to hear the voice of God, to know what to preach. And there was no message. Meanwhile, I fasted and prayed for 14 days. I was traveling to Zaria from Kano without a message. When I got to Zaria, they made all kinds of fried rice, all kinds of food,
Say, ah, pastor. Me and my... Those days, we don't laugh. Oh. Hey, a spiritual man does not laugh. That was our philosophy those days. I was like Elijah. Jesus, we did many kind of things in the name of spirituality. But you see, even though it was an excess, the Holy Ghost was still with us. We didn't understand any better. That was why we were lying. So we did not eat that food. We went back and prayed from morning till evening. No message. And that evening was the day of the meeting. Then God gave a song. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be thou lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come. I didn't know that was my message. The message came like a song. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be thou lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come. Ayahuasca. As he came to the ground of the meeting, it was an open air meeting. I was praying in tongues, looking for God. Then you must understand with me. Then I was not skilled yet, because I was expecting God to speak to me in a certain way that I was used to, and He wanted to migrate, to take me to other chambers of His dealings, and I was still trying to reach back into what I knew. But He was much more than what I knew. It's in the realm where you come to partake of life. When you become a partaker indeed of the things for which He is here, then you will know that God is without end. Your experience is limited. He will take you to things, to consider things, contemplate things that you have never known. And when I stood on the crusade ground, you know what? I didn't know what I preached. I was just talking out of the beauty of what my spirit had encountered. I was just talking out of it. And you know what? People began to cry. She is witness. Maybe that's when she fell in love with the young preacher. Oh, may not have that. Just stay with Jesus. You'll find many things. Go away. I was just giving expression to that with which my heart was filled. And it rained the heart of many people. Everyone there was implicated. And the glory of God descended. That was the day God encountered Jangfa the prophet. He had so many challenges at that time. And that cloud, as it came, He gave answers to the questions on the heart of many people, one of which was Jangfa. I did not even know it was many years later. He referred to that moment. A glory came from heaven. A great revival began after that. It was in the midst of that revival that I saw that my wife, who was Sister Dina then, she was very slim those days. Glory. You know, evil spiritual men, their cities. Come on, Billy, come on, say it. I am a Taye Kukwamana. Sometimes in the place of prayer, I just feel that God loves me. Those were the days, all right? When God wants you to peep into glory, then you will find out that irrespective of your diction, there is no word known to man with which you can explain the things of God. It's beyond imagination. It's beyond words. Oh my. And the only way to contain those moments was to cry. I was there in Abuja when God mentioned her name to me. Said, that one is your wife. Never went for searching. And she knew before I knew. Hallelujah. She was afraid of me. Those days, I don't shake a sister. She changed me. I'm changed now. I was like Elijah then. knowing how to call down fire and rain judgment. Because you see, in those days in Christianity, in Kano, for you to survive, you must know how to curse. We went to gates, to the coffers, to curse. We went to the altars to curse. You will become like Elijah. If you grow properly in Kano, there is something from Elijah you will inherit. So I came that way to their company. And I saw that, they just like to worship God. They don't like God. I looked at them, I said, very soon, your love will be tested. They didn't know where we were coming from. We had come from the furnace. They were liking God because there was revival. The Holy Ghost was sweet. People were coming. One guy would take guitar and he would play. Oh, they will sing. The few people that took the way of intercession, my wife, Tosin, few of them that took the way of, those were the people that survived. Satan, he came. Because God, at first, he will show himself like the sun. And then he will attract all nations. Then he will now manifest the side of him that is like a shade, where you will be isolated. If you don't use your days where he burns like the sun, to go beyond the excitement and to seek a taproot in him to hold, in the day when he comes like the shade, you'll be alone. It is those days, if you learn how to sing those days, then your song indeed is worship. Those are the things we call the songs in the night. They are ventilation therapies. That you learn how to sing in order to survive. And we sang them plenty in my days of the wilderness. And my time was a long time in the wilderness. Then I knew God in the sunlight. I knew him much more in the shade. Many of you will die by the shade. You will die in the shade. That's how the disciples were scattered. Only those that knew him by sunlight. That's when you can be passing and then carryovers will just start coming. The shade. Everything will turn upside down. The only thing that will... And God will allow you to love him first before that happens. So that you... The only handle available is that... The only thing, reason why you will continue is because you love him. Many people backslide when it's time for the shade. People serve God. Even people that don't love God, they serve God because there's this compelling power that comes with revival. What's that Greek word? Anakazo. It's compelling. It reaches out. It draws all men. But it will not be like that forever. He will leave you in the heat of battle and he will walk away. Hallelujah. Then if you know the songs of Zion, how that the God of Judah, he monitors his camp in the form of a lion, then you will sing those songs to yourself. You will pray to that God that doesn't leave his people. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Your faith will begin to be built up. Until the point comes in your life when you know that there is nothing left to fear. He will come back like the sun again. At that time, no battle can make you retreat. No poverty can make you surrender. In spite of poverty, you will still serve him. Circumstances will not make you change. The Muslims pray when they are poor, when they are sick, when they are about to die. They pray because it's their custom to pray. It's their culture to pray. You need to feel good to pray. Those are people that have not passed through the shade. Your Christianity is circumstantial. We went beyond that. I function by covenant. Whether there is no rain, whether there is no cloud, some of us will still be standing. He will not give you power except you survive the shade. You will learn how to sing when it is still night. You will learn how to pray when the things are not in order. When you have married for 2 years, you cannot deliver. and you are not praying for the fruit of the womb, you are still pressing to serve his will. Those are the days when you will weep to serve him, and he will look upon your tears and call them precious. I found him in my walk, in my journey. And that's why I came this weekend, that we may look upon the path of spiritual progress. Because I know the devil is trying to give you another option. He said, we have stayed long without salaries. Oh, that is how it is. You learn how to survive in the shade. Then you will not know a God that can support you outside of your own natural ways of support that you have built for yourself. Then you begin to see that a cattle upon a thousand hills belong to God. Those of you that have not received salary for 12 months, have you died? He sent supplies. Another page for you to know him now opens. With every adversity, it's a possibility to know him deeper. You see dimensions of him that you cannot see in the party floor. He comes in the shade and many are drowned. Hallelujah. Those are the days when you will pray for long and it's as if there was no answer. And the only assurance with which you came out of the prayer room was that the word of God says that if we pray, he will answer. So you came out by faith, knowing that your time was not wasted, and you still go back tomorrow. Your roommate will look at you and say, you are mad. Somebody has jinxed you. Because it's in his mind. You are in your heart in an adventure of love. A time will come when he said, behold, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever ye bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. They will not give just everybody kingdom power. There are some dimensions of kingdom power he releases. Then the wealth of the Gentiles are gathered. Then you know that it's not by labor. These are realities in God that we can enter into if we follow the approved path. It's after participation that you come into encounter. And the realm of encounter, you are more a creature of heaven than you are of earth. You are more like a cherub, much more like a cherub than a man. In this realm of encounter, an angel, a revelatory angel, is assigned to you. And this angel will take you through guided tours in the spirit. So it was concerning John on the Isle of Patmos. There were chambers in glory he entered. He needed somebody to interpret. An educational system opened. He was given part of the wisdom of the immortals. And so he began to know the things that are yet to come. Our call to follow Jesus is not a weak call. It's just that we have fake believers running after shadows. Believers that failed the love test. They could not survive the intensity of the sun. John became a strange creature. He saw things beyond learning. He understood beyond that which can be taught. Even the memory of him is blessed. To remember John, you are blessed already. My question to you today is, how far do you want to go? Because in our time, the Jesus that has been presented to us is a money doubler. He's a minister of breakthrough that trades in your marital life, your financial life, and your career. He's reduced to a mundane mortal, carrying a bag of goodies from Zion's kingdom, seeking mortals to confer it upon.
In the preaching of Jesus in these days,
we speak about what he will do next week in form of phone calls. And people that forget you will remember. I met an immortal that has no need of nothing, but has so much ability, willing to share in his love, to swallow up every symptom of insufficiency that our natural life has provided. And the more we get sucked into his realm, the more we depend upon him, and we cease to depend on the things of this age. And you yourself become not just a prophet, but you operate by the spirit of prophecy. Where, if we study your life, it is a message to our generation, just like it was. His life was a message pointing to the fact that Nigeria is the apostolic face of Africa. And from this nation, a lot of people will rise that will take the kingdom of Jesus to the ends of the earth. The powers of the bond woman and the spirit of astrology that we have had to contend with is because of the weight of our destiny as a corporate persona. The devil has decided to marshal out the best of his minions to ensure that we are caught up in a struggle that will compromise our destiny. But just like Jesus said to Saul, it is hard to kick against the barbed wire. For that which has been determined from eternity cannot be faulted in time. In our lifetime, we will behold a mighty feat of the grace of God. Something much more than the human mind can handle. His glory will descend. Africa, Africa shall be free. And from the coast of Africa, he will give us windows, but for a short season, that we might launch into Europe and the other parts of the world. This will be a very short window, very short opportunity, before the Antichrist takes this stage. There will be a witness to all nations. Every eye will know that indeed Jesus is the creator from the beginning. And every other one that came was a thief and a robber and a liar. This is the journey that he has called us to walk upon, on the path of spiritual progress. I have seen the length of the journey, and I want to arrive at the very zenith of his pilgrimage. Hallelujah. For John, what he learned in secondary school was no longer a matter, whether he learned physics or chemistry or biology. Because when he came to the Isle of Patmos, he was exposed to another educational system that trivialized everything he had studied before that time. A reality that was stronger than everything that he could behold from the physical. I welcome you to a journey. A journey we'll be making together this weekend. A path of spiritual progress. The ecosystem of an organic form where our habitat is the life of God. You may want to sit, you may want to stand, but we are going to gain ascendancy right now. Oh my. I will teach you about the corridors that you will go through when we gain ascendancy. I don't know if we'll do that tomorrow or next. The things you will touch. The things you will handle. The powers of the age to come. The realities beyond time. John saw things that he was even asked to seal. He was so educated to a point where he could pick every rhythm, he could pick every rhyme. And when the seven thunders blasted, he knew the message that they conveyed, and he wanted to write. He said, How can that man be worried about recession? The value of the naira in the paralyzed parallel market. All share index of Nigerian Stock Exchange.
The man that saw
where seals were broken and the price of commodities in the stock market. A season came because a seal was broken and it affected the price situation in the market. How can you not have wisdom enough to operate superior to that market? The thing you are looking for is in Christ Jesus. In fact, it is forbidding for a Christian to consider his life outside of Christ. Because that's what John chapter 15 means. That's what it means to abide in him. You always consider yourself in the context of his habitat, not outside. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you have some setbacks. You have not had a lot for some time. Those are temporary. You can live with it and live out of it. But there's something you cannot live out of. We must know what is permanent and what is ephemeral. What is primordial and what is eternal. So that we can lay our foundations properly. For the adventure which is not just time based. Something that transcends time. We must know the coordinates and the parameters too, by which we are going to advance. It's a part of spiritual progress. Listen to me. This is not the time, because you see, Jesus is about to come back. Yes, and I'm determined to be part of the army he's raising to bring about the final witness upon the face of the earth. That's why I'm here. And that we will do. We will spend and be spent to see that happen. The midst of the confusion, the midst of the cacophony of voices in the house of God. He wants to unveil a path that all the wise in him might find the real journey. Hear the real voice. Dance to the real beat. And bow before the real flag. I want to lead you in a prayer. Few prayer points. Hallelujah. I don't know where you are. Maybe you were advancing and then a challenge now came. And then you now felt that challenge was the reason why you are living. And you camped around the challenge. I don't know your own case. Did you hear a false preacher? And the false preacher gave you a different assortment of priorities. And you camped around those priorities. Those are the things we call distractions from Christ. Was it a doctrine you heard? And you took off with that doctrine and forgot about the Christ. That doctrine was an error. There is nothing, no doctrine. Alright? Doctrine is always singular in scripture. Not plural. The principles of the doctrine of Christ. The principles are many, but the doctrine is single. The first time Jesus began to speak about doctrine was the book of John chapter 7. And it was in the Feast of Tabernacles. Because the doctrine he was talking about there was that God was tabernacled in man. That the words I speak, that's Jesus saying, they are not my words. It is him that is in me that is speaking. So if you have met with me, you have met with the one speaking through me. Because it's his words I have spoken. I have not spoken my words. He was trying to bring them into an understanding of what happens when God is tabernacled in man. Man becomes a vocal cord, a vessel that God possesses. He uses his mouth. Uses his understanding. He migrates his thoughts into God's thoughts. So that he can think the thoughts of God. Jesus said, God, the Father that you seek, he is tabernacled in me. Hallelujah. So the doctrine of God is Christ. Because in him, the Godhead was indwelt bodily. And the teaching concerning Christ is the church. Because the church is the only crucible in which his reality can be found. And the doctrine of the apostles is that the foundation of Christ must be laid in every believer. So every believer, apart from being saved, so that the foundation can be laid, the apostolic labors, is to make that foundation known. Christ must be known. You must begin to live by Christ. And if you were taught very well, you should not be able to consider yourself outside of Christ. Because in Him we live. In Him we move. And in Him we have our being. Every doctrine, every preacher, every bishop, every archbishop that came to prescribe a teaching which was apart from Him came with the aid of the devil to distract us. Every other building that comes that is built in the house of God. Are you with me? Paul said, I have laid the foundation. It is when apostles lay that foundation that bring people into the consciousness of the Christ and how to relate with the immortal personality of the Christ, that other people can bring their teachings and build upon that foundation. And it was that building that other support ministers will build, that Paul said, let every man take heed how he what? Build. So building is with relationship to the foundation. Not apart from the foundation, but according to the foundation. The average Christian doesn't know the foundation because of the distraction of many preachers. And I'm not saying this to sound superior. I'm saying that the last days has come. And because the last days has come, God is sending a new breed of ministers. They are the remnant company. Yes. They will be faithful to Christ in the preaching of truth. And it doesn't matter who is offended. Yes, because God started the church the way He wanted it. Now He wants it the way He started it. I don't have time to take you through the route. But I believe we'll have time this weekend. You are going to give Him the right of way. And you are going to say, Lord, you can rearrange my life. Just in case there is a distorted picture that is not consistent with the path. Bring me back. Gather me back. For this time, let it no longer be as I will. Let it be as you will. As you will. This will be a good time for you to check every layer of your life. Your relationship. Your walk with God. Your prayer life. Your commitment to God. This will be a good time. It will be a good time. As we seek alignment with God. If you can afford it, don't go out. If you can afford it, don't become active in the flesh. Let's advance with Him. Elina Hambres Kosanahale. Maiko Paraski Hiso Senekali. If you can afford it, don't go out. Oh,
he Ire mamore mala, wo ramene haya na hela e. Ire mama,
it's a time to seek alignment.
Ire, saleme na nime. Ire, 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 ire. He will.
Yeah.
worship the Lord. I 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 worship the Lord. Come on.